The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So first thing, where's Chop from? Tell us about Chop. Because tell us your real name and then tell us where Chop came from.
So my real name is Damian Robinson. Chop came from I was 14 pounds when I was a baby. And then my mom gave me the nickname Pork Chop. Yeah. Once I got older, I started to slim down. And I was like, I can't have people calling me Pork Chop. Right,
so they just kept it the Chop.
I just kept it Chop, yes, sir.
Ever since I was, you know, a child, like, I always been like...
You've always had the rocked up. 8 years old, you were like, everyone's like, damn, he's got muscles.
Yeah, I came out swole, so like, I've been like this. I've really been like this my whole life. So.
I'm always looking for a good idea for a t-shirt. Right. I came out swole.
Right.
Would sell.
Right.
Now, I never act on it.
Yeah, well...
But like... Don't let the powder blues fool you.
Yeah, I hear
right?
you. Right.
I heard one over the weekend that sounded like a great t-shirt idea, and it was so great, I can't friggin' remember what it was. But I came out swole. That would be a hell of a t-shirt.
No, I mean, it really would. I mean, first off, I think the first thing, you know, like, guys like that, it's so cool to be around. If you see, like, the physical freak shows they are, right, and why they're here. You think, you know, maybe one day, a guy will get the big business acumen to like come up with a t-shirt like that early on in his career and try to
trademark it. I came out swole.
Get it right that way. But like yesterday, I think was maybe my most enjoyable day ever doing prospects.
Oh, you were.
Well, I thought
you were Christmas morning kid in a candy store.
But it was like, it was different. I usually am like that. But I just really felt like, and I'm guessing you felt the same way. We haven't even talked about this. But, you know, usually, hey, it's college kids. They're a little reserved. They're afraid to say things. They're afraid to show their personality. We didn't have that yesterday. No. I mean, every defense end and defensive tackle, you were like, oh, he's kind of got a alpha, take control, be a leader type of personality, right? And those are little things that I certainly look at that'll make me think differently of a player. Listen, you can look at a guy sometimes in the personality and go, does he have it in him to take over in a big moment, right? And it's usually those guys. It's usually not the quiet guy in the corner of the locker room. That's not the guy who takes over, you know, with 4 minutes left in a game, right? Chris Jones is not quiet. Aaron Donald is not quiet, right? So that's where I found it really refreshing. It was a great personalities. Well, they were cool.
It's good news and bad news.
Yeah.
The good news is you get a lot of great, big personality, potential great players in the NFL at an important position. The bad news is they're going to have to let the tackles leave even earlier than they leave. They're going to have to look the other way on holding even more in order to keep the quarterbacks in one piece, because you got more guys that are frothing at the mouth to go hit. And when we ask them.
Yeah.
Most of it, like if we were doing the votes, since it is election season, the vast majority, like 75-80% Patrick Mahomes, then
Lamar.
A huge gap with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
but
right.
It's almost like
right.
they respect him. Like they respect him and they're in awe of him, and they grew up in South Florida, and that's just the guy they identify with the quarterback position, so that's who they want to hit. And I can't remember who it was, But the one guy who said
off air,
all of them,
right?
And then off air he said Patrick Mahomes.
I really do want to kill Patrick Mahomes.
He knew not to say
that. Yeah,
you don't want to poke the bear.
Right.
You woke up the wrong mother Hubbard.
That's right.
and the other side of it too, to dovetail off Patrick Mahomes, and I wrote about this last night. I think Max Crosby retweeted the clip of all the guys who look up to and want to emulate Max Crosby because of his effort.
Yeah, because of his effort. Right.
And that speaks to the quality and the character of these guys. And we heard about it, I think, when we were talking to the Spielmans beforehand, Rick and Chris, the idea that a lot of them are talking about how they want to be Max Crosby. That is just like the common theme here. They all want to be Max Crosby.
Yeah. It was actually shocking. You know, shocking to hear that many guys just go, Max Crosby, Max Crosby, Max Crosby. And again, as we saw with Max Crosby compared to these guys that we saw yesterday, similar personalities, right? I mean, we've been around Max a few times now. He's kind of how we talked about it. He's not the quiet guy in the corner of the locker room, that's for sure. But it is cool. It's cool to see young people appreciate, you know, the artistry of the position and a little bit of the grind of what it really takes to be great, right? You know, there's a few out there that don't need to work or go crazy hard all the time because they're so freakishly talented. But, I mean, that's few in the history of the NFL. And it's good to see these guys got their head on straight.
And these are the guys who are in that subset of players.
Yeah.
Because the farther you get away from the ball, the less frequently you get hit. These are the guys who every single snap are getting hit or doing the hitting. There is no escaping it.
They got to come out swole.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But they got to either deliver the hit or take the hit, fight off the hit, double team, triple team. This guy hits me. This guy's trying to stop me. So,
yeah, it's
fun yesterday. It was fun.
They are definitely part of the position. You've heard me tell stories, whether D tackles. I mean, they're angry bulls. That's what they are. We saw that yesterday a little bit. And, you know, they have an ability to not only have that freakish strength and size and ability, too, but can have for guys that are 6'3", 315, they can have Napoleon complex, too, which is, like, kind of, you know, amazing. You're like, wait, you're the giant, you're the biggest ass kicker in the world, and yet you could flip a switch like this and be angry and, like, I've been picked on my whole life almost, right? Yep. And that's where that's a special human being that plays that position.
We have Troy Vincent, the NFL's executive VP of football operations, coming up
Man,
at the bottom of the hour
awesome.
To go over some of the rule changes. Well, you know, I just threw a dart last week. It's like, we're here.
Yeah, you're here.
Come
talk to us.
Come see us, and let's talk about the rule change. You want to get the word out on what you guys are talking about? Let's have a conversation.
Right.
And I thought he was going to say no. It's just a lesson for you kids. You only hear no if you ask the question. What's
That's
the Wayne Gretzky line? 100% of the shots you don't take don't go in.
Yeah, something like that.
It's
you're
better
than
that.
You're right.
It's
right.
More suited to a T-shirt.
Yes, right.
Anyway, we're going to have some defensive backs come through after we're done today. We finish at 9 o'clock Eastern. News regarding a defensive back who's heading toward free agency.
Yeah.
The Chiefs reportedly giving L'Jarius Sneed permission to seek a trade. They've also told him they're prepared to tag him if there isn't a long-term deal by Tuesday's deadline. Now, again, this is just a report which tells me that the Chiefs have made this known to Sneed, and Sneed's agent said to somebody, and if you hang around Indianapolis at all this week, the agents are everywhere, the reporters are everywhere. I'm a little uncomfortable with the idea of giving a guy permission to seek a trade when you currently have no rights to him because you haven't applied the franchise tag.
It's weird. Right.
They can't trade him now.
Yep.
His contract expires at the moment they could trade him.
Right.
They first have to apply the franchise tag before it's even relevant. And remember how, like, Bill Belichick would always be weird about any discussions involving a trade for a franchise player?
Sure.
You can't trade him until he signs the franchise tender.
Yeah.
Because you have to apply the franchise tender with an intention of actually employing him. That's where it gets a little dangerous.
Right.
If you're using this as part of a chess move to just get value for him, you could get yourself into a little hot water.
Here's my question. Because I was thinking along the same lines, too. What is the benefit, right? Is the benefit not to hope, hey, something long-term gets done or you get traded here so then maybe we can use the tag on somebody else? They don't want to use it. Are they trying to save it to the last moment just in case, right? That's what I was going, why not just tag them right now and just be done with it? I didn't understand that either, actually.
I think that part of the mindset would be give this guy a chance to see what else is out there.
Right.
Because in
but
so
he can
doing,
still do that.
In so doing, he'll see what else. But no one's going to give up two ones for him.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So if you tell him, yes, go ahead. But, right. but it's just, I wonder if something got lost in the translation. I think it's awkward and potentially a CBA issue for the Chiefs to say to him, you have permission to go seek a trade. There is no right that they have to trade him at this point.
Right.
It's just an awkward,
strange... It's a dead
strange,
period here where it's...
And you physically can't trade him until he becomes a free agent. And at that point, you'd have to tag him. And getting back to the point with Belichick always kind of tiptoeing around that, it's just a weird, awkward spot for the Chiefs and Snead to be in. And to echo what I said yesterday, and again, I don't want to traffic in rumors that could potentially hurt a guy's value, but there is a medical concern out there that I've heard.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is the kind of draft rumor you hear to try to knock a guy down you can get him. There's just like a little red flag.
Yeah.
We better be sure this guy's knees are fine before we commit big dollars to him, whether it's the Chiefs or anybody else.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's a corner, and his game is built on speed. L'Jarius Snead is awesome.
Well, and also putting Tyreek Hill onto the ground.
Well, yeah, he's great at jams, too. Yeah. You're right. But he has the confidence and the ability to do that and be aggressive at the line of scrimmage because I'm really fast. I can turn and run with you, right? You know? So that's where, I mean, to your point, the knee health there and how that's doing. When if he does get a trade or it comes down the, you know, getting to that point, man, some teams are going to have to do their due diligence there. But I do think the Chiefs, and we discussed this a little yesterday, you know, showed their hand a little bit. I think it kind of shows you, hey, like L'Jarius, we'd like to keep you. If we can get a long-term deal done that makes sense for our salary cap and all that, you'll stay here. But I think they're comfortable with their depth at that position like we discussed yesterday. And I think they're probably at the realization of, wait, Chris Jones are more rare in this league than, you know, the L'Jarius Sneeds. And I don't say that to disrespect L'Jarius Sneed, who I think is really damn special, definitely. But like we said,
he's not Chris Jones.
He's not Chris Jones. Yes. Game-changing D tackles only come around every so often. And I think they got to prioritize that, number one.
And I get the impression that they're confident they're going to work something out with Jones. He's not going to hit free agency.
Right.
Even though I go back to the mindset from 30 years ago to break up the Cowboys, I'm amazed that there isn't some other team out there that is filling Chris Jones' agents' heads with the idea that if your guy gets to market, we're going to pay him a hell of a lot more than the Chiefs will. I think he wants to stay.
Yeah.
The truth serum that he was drinking on the day of the parade and rally
that
caused him to say,
yeah,
this year, next year, the year after, I'm sticking around. I think that's how he really feels.
I think it is, too. I think as long as they get close, right, close to what he thinks is his market value or that, I have the same feeling and inkling there. And you know, and of course they're organizing the checkbook and the checking savings and all that right now too.
All these guys that told us on air yesterday that they want to hit Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
It's far better to be teammates with Patrick Mahomes if you can pull it off.
No doubt.
You're more likely to have hardware.
Yeah.
You're more likely to be making big plays in big spots, to have the opportunity to make big plays in big spots because Patrick Mahomes is going to carry you there.
Yeah, agreed with that. And there is value to being a part of a team like this. There is, in the long-term picture, right, in the big picture of things. Again, Chris Jones is going to the Hall of Fame. We know that. I mean, it certainly feels that way. I'd vote for him to be in the Hall of Fame, right? But, hey, he wins another Super Bowl, wins another one after that. You know, then it's guaranteed first ballot.
Yeah.
Then it's guaranteed every time you go to an autograph signing, you're getting like $100,000 just to be there for an hour and a half or 2 hours.
You're the
right?
king of Kansas City. You never pay for a meal, a drink, anything for the rest of your life in Kansas
City.
You know,
those are the things where he can catch up with the value a little bit. And he does. He seems more, you know, into the dynasty, the legacy, and being a part of it more than maybe looking for every last dollar he can get, which is cool in a lot of ways. It really is.
Years from now.
Yeah.
While you're still doing this, and I will be if I'm still alive.
You're gonna let me take over this show with like your son, and it'd be me and Alex on PFT? You won't? You're not going to let me be associated? So when you're gone, you won't pass this down? You won't be like, hey, friend Chris
When
Sims.
I'm dead. After I'm dead, it doesn't matter, because when you're dead, you're dead.
Yeah.
We were having this conversation last night. It's very existential.
Deep Thoughts by Mike Florio.
When you are
when
dead?
When you're dead, you're dead.
You're dead.
So stop
News
saving
flash.
All your money.
Doesn't
and act
matter.
Like you can take it with you.
All right, I'll buy a Ferrari when I get home.
Damn, do it.
Okay, so
you won't do it.
I was going to make a point. Oh.
When you're dead, you're
Wait,
dead.
Wait, what was my point?
I don't know.
We're going to talk about this later. Oh,
yeah.
I got it now.
Okay.
Boom, it came back to me. You talked about Chris Jones making it to the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. I had this flash forward to a point where there is a huge cluster of Chiefs in the Hall of Fame. And then people are going to say, well, no wonder they won all those Super Bowls. They had all those Hall of Famers. But it's the winning of the Super Bowls
that really
that puts all these guys in the Hall
exactly
of Fame.
Exactly right. No, there's no doubt
I don't
doubt
care
about
what any
that.
Other standard right. it is. The voters get smitten by rings.
Yes, 100%. How many guys are, like, out there? Like, I played with Brandon Marshall. He's a Hall of Famer. He just was never on a good team. Right? That's how I feel. I mean, I played in the NFL for 8 years, and of course, even after I retired and he was continuing to play, I was watching it. I've been on the field. I was like, damn, Brandon Marshall, nobody's been like him, right? I mean, so there's so many players out there like that, like we talk about all the time, where we go, that guy is actually great, right? You know, and if you're not like a running back sometimes, you know, maybe a receiver or a quarterback with crazy stats. You're right. Those are the only guys that seem to kind of overcome the I've never been on, you know, a great team or a winning team or anything like that.
And, Chris, it's also an opportunity to perform when 120 million are watching.
Yeah, that's right, too. That's
Chris
right.
Jones busting through the line to break
in
up a potential touchdown in
right.
overtime.
That's
that would
right.
have put the 49ers up by 7.
Right.
Keeps it to a field goal, sets the stage for you. You see it.
You see
he
it.
Has the chance
he
to do it.
He probably saved
Brandon
two other
Marshall
touchdowns
never got a chance
during the game.
It.
Exactly
yeah.
right.
And
you
Super Bowl
know?
54.
That's exactly
freaking
right.
out
so
Jimmy
big
Garoppolo.
Moments, right.
Knocking balls down.
Exactly.
You know.
Oh, I like it. Yeah, see, I'm rubbing off on you. See, yeah. pass it down
oh,
to me.
That's
come
good.
On.
That's good or bad. One guy who won't be making it to the Hall of Fame from the Chiefs, I'm confident to say.
Yeah.
Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Okay, yeah. I think
Even though.
Right.
Better late than never.
Yeah.
He made a couple of big catches in the postseason. Remember, he made that catch against the Bills where
down the
he was
middle.
Like right up
yeah.
over. Like,
he caught
like
two big passes. Yeah, right.
And then he made the catch that was the dagger against the Ravens. He will be released in order to save $12 million against the salary cap. Here's the big catch that was the moment that ended the Ravens season falling down after we have seen him drop. Maybe it's just one of those things where the harder the catch, the more likely you are to make it because you're not thinking about it.
I think there's something there to that, right? I got nervous for him in the Super Bowl when he was wide open for that touchdown, and he kind of was awkward catching it, right? Remember that? I think there is something to that in a receiver's brain at times, but hey, they're trimming the fat. Look at this. Like, this is one that's so wide open. Look, oh my gosh. Holy cow. Those are the hardest throws and the hardest catches in football right there because you know – and you're, like you said, your mind slips away for a minute because you're like, I'm about to catch a touchdown in a big moment.
Something's wrong. Right. And I'm open.
Right.
Something's
I'm
wrong
about
here.
To catch it. So your
what
mind
happened?
Goes. In the yeah. Ravens game, you're like, oh, no, he threw it kind of behind me. I got to let me focus, right? So you're totally focused on the ball. It's a different mindset. But I think we're seeing here, I mean, again, the Chiefs, they got a few holes they got to, you know, cover up. They got the Chris Jones. They got the LeJarius Sneed situation. $12 million saving that. Marquez Valdes-Scantling certainly is not worth that and what he has done, you know, the last 2 years for this Chiefs football team. So, you know, hate to see him go. Hate to see a guy like that who made some big plays and it's kind of a wah-wah like a few weeks after the Super Bowl. But that's the business and the Chiefs got, you know, some players they gotta pay.
He's one of the guys they added after they traded Tyreek Hill. He got two Super Bowl rings for his trouble. He got paid
yeah.
and now he moves on as
that's
a free
right.
agent and he'll get to go wherever he wants to go. The good news is they're not squatting on his salary. They're not waiting.
Get it quick.
They're putting him out there now.
Let him go.
There's probably a
right.
trigger in his contract that, and that's always smart to have.
Yeah.
Fairly early in the league year, force the team to make a decision one way or the other, and the decision is he moves on, so he gets a chance to hit the market early, and maybe somebody else will see those catches he made
yeah.
under duress and say, let's give this guy a chance, even though he's not going to get the kind of money he was supposed to get from the Chiefs. Another guy who was with the Chiefs, left as a free agent for the Jets, was traded back to Kansas City after one catch for 6 yards with the Jets, Mecole Hardman. He made some news this week. He was on Ryan Clark's The Pivot podcast on what went wrong with the Jets this year. Have a listen to Mecole Hardman.
And I just feel like it's not an established coaching staff there as well. Like, you just got a new coaching staff that came in, you know, and like, it's no standard there. It's like everybody do what they want to do, and it's like whatever. Now, granted, the defense have a more of a stabilized standard with that, with the coaching staff on that side. So you could tell the defense got a standard, but the offense is just like, all right, we'll just figure it out. It's Aaron's show. Mm-hmm. Let Aaron do what Aaron do, you know what I mean? But then when Aaron go down, it's like, we don't know what to do. I was so checked out. Like, it's over. I already talked to Vija, Pat. Like, hey, bro, come get me, bro. Like, what are y'all doing? Like, what are we talking about? Like, man, come get me.
So, look, it didn't work out for him in New York.
No. He never really even got close to being in the starting lineup, right? You know, it never got there. And it was unfortunate for him. He got a little paycheck for sure, but
he got a ring. He caught the game-winning touchdown pass in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And he created a little bit of a ruckus.
Mm-hmm.
He created a little bit of a – and I don't quite know how to
– What do you mean the ruckus? By this right here? Or
He made the comment about
come get me. Yeah, right.
He then tweeted, I never had talks with Kansas City before the trade, so we can clear that up. The Jets handled my trade on their own and did the right thing by sending me back to Kansas City. So that's part of it. Now, the other part of it is a little more complicated,
right.
And I might want to put a pin in it because Troy Vincent is in the building, and I know he's on a tight schedule.
Right.
So I might throw it a break here. If Troy is going to be ready in a couple of minutes, we'll get Troy up here while we got him.
Right.
I don't want to make him wait.
Yeah.
It's not like there's anyone else to talk to here.
Yeah.
It is empty. It is a chasm. It is nothing here. So we have Troy. I see him over there. We're going to take a break, and we're going to get Troy Vincent up here and have some conversations about the rule changes. But at some point, I want to come back to this Mecole Hardman stuff because there's another development that is very weird and should be very troubling to the New York Jets. Maybe we'll fit that in later in the program. For now, we take a break. When we return, NFL Executive VP of Football Operations, Troy Vincent, joining us here on Set Live.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Here we are at the Indiana Convention Center, site of the 2024 NFL Scouting Combine. We've had plenty of prospects. We've had coaches. We've had general managers joining us.
Now we got a heavy hitter.
This is it. This heavy is it, baby.
Hitter.
We got power. We got juice.
Here goes the show.
Executive VP of Football Operations for the National Football League, Troy Vincent. I'll give you a tiny little piece of Troy Vincent, Mike Florio trivia.
Right? Let me hear it.
Born on the exact same day.
Is that right?
5 years apart.
Damn. Okay.
5 years apart, but still the exact same day.
That makes me think less of you, actually, a little bit. You must have some messed up crap, you know, crap in your brain.
Or
a split little
personality.
Here we go.
Right.
Here we go. Troy, let's get right to it. We got a lot to talk about because there's a lot going on. And we're all curious about the play that you have said on multiple occasions has become a dead play given the way the rules have evolved, the kickoff. Where are we going to go with the kickoff in 2024?
Well, we met with the special team coaches this past Sunday. That is, we being the competition committee, and it was our first, at least verbal, discussion with Coach Rizzi from the Saints.
Yeah, sure.
Who's kind of leading, you know, the efforts. Coach Hightower from the Bears.
Yeah.
And Coach Fossil, who I find to be just fantastic mind from Dallas as it pertains to special teams play. And they briefed the committee on what they've researched from the CFL, the USFL, the XFL, what has worked in other professional leagues around the world or what hasn't worked. And it seems as though there's a combination of a little bit of XFL, a little bit of USFL that they could bring into the play that can make it interesting. What I find to be fascinating is they potentially can put in another 1,500 to 2,000 plays. You know, you just start talking about that's a dead ceremonial play. We saw that.
Right.
You go from 38% returns to 22. But to talk about setting up a play
right.
that potentially can put in an additional 2,500 plays, that's exciting.
And you mean that through the kickoff?
Through the kickoff.
Just the different ways they could do things, game
yes.
plan, hey, I could do this, right?
Yes.
And that was more through the XFL prism? Or
it's a little bit of
what
the
is
XFL
the
prism.
What is the USFL prism? I'm not sure if I know.
You're lining up 10 yards apart.
Right.
Ball's kicked.
Right.
No one moves until actually the returner, receiver
That's
receives
right.
the ball. There's a huge penalty if there's a touchback. So they have elements of forcing the return.
Right, right.
So there's some of that. My challenge always, I go back to, this is how I got into football. I earned a scholarship at the University of Wisconsin because of special teams play. In 19, we removed the elements of the play that was significantly dangerous.
Yeah, right.
The wedge blocks,
yes.
the short sets, the cross blocks.
Right.
You can see some of those elements possibly returning in some of that setup.
I would think so.
Yes.
The XFL formula for sure, right? We've kind of broken that down where you're going to have guys, you know, what is it? They line up at their own 20-yard line, basically. You're going to have guys pulling and,
yeah, you
know,
start.
But they're only 5 yards apart.
They're
only 5 yards apart,
right,
though. So I always thought, Troy, one of the big concerns was you have guys that get to a running start, maximum speed, and you get that collision, and that's the greatest chance for a catastrophic injury. When you have guys 5 yards apart, you're not going to have the same impacts.
Correct. But potentially, the guys that break free are skill position players. They're completely different than those of other leagues. You make a guy miss – now you have that defender on a runner
yeah.
quite quickly.
Right.
But when I think about it, as they were explaining it to the committee, I started thinking about Devin Hester and that with this kind of.
Right.
Because it's really now you're only – it's one line of defense.
And once you break it,
once you break the crease, bye-bye.
Yeah.
So it was exciting to hear some of those elements. They meet tomorrow, Saturday morning as a full group. And the expectation is that we'll have something formally in writing so that we could discuss in Fort Lauderdale.
So their thought there, just to sum it up a little bit, is they're kind of trying to say, like, hey, some of these special returners are going to have a real advantage with this kind of setup
here.
Oh,
no question.
Yeah.
And I also think
that. And they expressed that to you.
They expressed it and also asked the question, does this change your roster dynamic? Based off of that setup, as they were verbalizing it, it changes.
Yeah, you might not want some of the bigger special teams.
Four to six players on your roster.
Exactly right. Yeah. Right.
Well, and I think it also would make teams more willing to put their special players in that spot because you don't have that same. Remember the Jason Sehorn injury?
Yes. Yes.
Where you've got the big collision. Because if you do, it's all packed together and you're only dealing with one possibility getting hit, you slip through that and you're gone.
Also, what was another?
Yeah, let me hear
it. In their interpretation of what they're looking for, two returners are back.
Oh.
So, unlike the XFL, you had two so that you encourage the ball will be returned.
Yeah, be caught.
Yeah,
got a
so
guy
that
there.
Was. Right. And then what's the overall problem? I think for all listeners and viewers and the fans, it is trying to reduce the injury rate. Bring it a little bit closer to what's acceptable for a normal scrimmage
play. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
I heard some stuff last night, and again, I never know what can and can't be trusted when you're here in Indianapolis because there are varying amounts of alcohol involved in the conversation. But I heard something about possibly touchback moving to the 35 on a kickoff. Would this be part of the XFL model? Is that the penalty you were talking about?
This was part of the model that the special teams coaches are considering. Why? To encourage
the returns. You put the ball in the end zone, the other team's getting the ball at 35.
Right.
But you know what? If you're facing.
We also think that. With that, it would definitely increase scoring.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're facing a team with a Devin Hester quality return man, maybe you will kick it into the end zone and just say, put the ball on the 35. We don't want this guy burning us two or three times a game.
It's encouraging to hear that they're accepting of it because I had heard, you know, some were like, oh, I don't want to do the XFL thing, right? But they've gotten back into a corner basically where they're like.
It was a completely different. It was night and day from 12 months ago.
Okay, wow. Thank you. That's what I was going to say. I was like, I swear I talked to some special teams coaches that were like, we're not doing that.
It was completely night and day.
Right.
We talk.
Right.
We can't have no options.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, John Mayer and others, they expressed that when the coaches finished 90 minutes later, how excited they were that they've embracing this play. One, we got to keep the foot in the game.
Yeah.
You got to keep that play
right.
in the game.
That's
is
right.
there a growing confidence then of a chance to get into 24? Because I know not that long ago, it's like, you know, 24 is not there for the XFL model. 24 is really not there for anything. We don't know what we're going to do.
Mike,
do you
I
feel
believe
like
so.
Get to 24?
I believe so, Mike.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's cool to
so.
Hear.
Just
that's
them
news,
leaving
folks.
Out. Yeah,
we're making news this morning.
Yeah, I believe so.
All right.
All right.
Damn, hip drop tackle. I think we hit everything we can on the kickoff.
That
that's very
one.
Exciting. That's very enticing about keeping the kickoff play in the game. Hip drop tackle. I know that's something that folks feel very strongly about. We've come around on it. It's kind of like you know it when you see it, but how do you articulate it in a rule?
So that is, it's been a big topic of discussion. We actually discussed it with the Players Association on Tuesday. The more you see it, and the key here is what are the indicators?
Mm-hmm.
We had the officials have been part of our meetings as well, so we can chime in how they see it.
Right.
Can they officiate it? The key indicators there, and Mike and Chris, if you've seen, it's the grabbing.
Yeah.
It's the swivel.
Right.
And it's that unweighting
doing
on the back of the leg.
Right.
You can see when those three components kind of show up.
Yeah.
It's there. And we can't ignore the 20X injury rate.
Of
course. That's something that doesn't matter what side the table you're on. 20 times the injury rate, we got to make an adjustment to that play. And the talk is, do we pick it up during the week? Now, the officials actually felt like most of these hip drops are actually happening inside the tight end box.
Right.
So that ref and that umpire can actually pick it up.
Mm.
Most thought, well, it's a small guy tackling a big guy.
No.
In this particular case, it's the big guy tackling a smaller guy.
Right.
So trying to get the guy down to the ground.
Yeah.
Because that's the other side of it. People say we got to get the guy to the ground. Like the Mark Andrews injury. Got to get him to the ground as quick as you can because he's getting close to the goal line. He's getting close enough where he could reach out and score a touchdown. Well, so let's just get him down to the ground.
Here's the play here.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know it. Now, it's not the most egregious one right. of the year, right?
And
that
he didn't
was a
land
tough
on
one.
His legs. I think on that one,
I mean,
he doesn't
a
land
little
on his legs.
Right there,
you can
right?
See the,
but it's
the body, still. That body coming back. But again, this is not one of the most egregious.
Right, right.
This is one where you can talk about it, put it on there, but you have one from Geno Smith, Deshaun Watson,
right.
The Tony Pollard.
Yeah,
like,
that's
there
right.
are some that are just crystal clear.
Geno here.
Here's a Geno play.
But this wasn't, well, it wasn't flagged because it's not illegal yet.
Yeah.
Geno was under the impression it was. After the game, he was very vocal about it.
We talk of Calais right. Campbell, Mac Jones the year before.
And,
was
and
that?
The players know it. When it happens.
Yes.
It's why Lamar Jackson, after the Andrews play,
right.
he responded that way because he saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where did this technique even come from? We've been playing football forever, and now just the past few years, the hip drop tackle pops up.
The evolution of the Hawk tackle.
Yeah.
With the emphasis of moving or removing the head out of the game, people began to tackle. I grew up in an era where put the head in, they call
right.
it bite the ball.
Right.
Put your head across the bow.
Right.
With all of the head impacts, you were now taught, and Pete introduced this, the Hawk tackle.
Yeah.
Getting behind the ball carrier. I always taught if I get behind the ball carrier, it's a missed tackle.
Yeah. Right.
And it's become an evolution. The players are adjusting. But listen, the players they're so athletic. I have full confidence. When the players see enough of that shot.
Yeah.
Because you hear some players say, what do they don't want us? No, we're not trying to remove the hustle tackle. We're not trying to move your chase and get a guy down. But that play of grabbing, swiveling, and unweighting.
Right.
And some of them you never say is intentional, but you can see it shows up quite a bit.
Yeah.
We just got to get that one, clean that one up before it gets.
It's intentional to get the guy down.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, that's where it's intentional.
And
we got to remind everybody, this is a defensive football player here who's very conscious of that.
Right.
Right.
I mean, you still got to play defense. Yeah. And we get that. And we try to, like, remind people of that there still has to be an opportunity for the defensive players to tackle guys. So if you can't do the hip drop tackle and you're in that setting chasing Mark Andrews to the end zone, how are you supposed to get him on the ground? What are they going to be told to do? No.
We have thousands and thousands of tackles
of the player
doing
the right way.
Doing the right way.
Right, exactly.
We're
right.
just asking that you don't unweight. Just stop and unweight.
Do a rodeo
your body.
Move. It's a rodeo
we
move.
We see it. They're doing it every week and thousands of times the right way, getting their body across, the defender, the defender body hitting the ground first.
To his point, it's a copycat league, right? We heard Devin McCourty, who you know real well as well and played, you know, safety for all those years. He even talked about. He saw Kyle Arrington, one of their DBs, do it a few years ago.
right? And then they started to go, wait, that kind of works, just to get them down like
it's
that.
It's working, and it's very common. We're seeing
but it's
about
really
two
dangerous.
A weekend.
Right.
Yep. And it's...
I mean, Dak Prescott would have been...
The injury rate's the key.
The broken ankle.
The injury rate's
12X,
the key. If
20X,
it's that much, it's 20X. You got to do something about it. Got a couple more to get to real quickly because you got to go. I mentioned getting Mark Andrews down before he can reach the ball to the end zone, and we know the risk when you reach the ball to the end zone.
I love this one.
Mike, there's... I understand.
Give the ball back to the offense because they fumbled.
Right. It eliminates an opportunity to score a touchdown. It keeps scoring down. That's one of the reasons I don't like the rule. And it's nonsensical. If the ball goes out of the one-inch line, the offense keeps the spot of the fumble. If it touches the pylon, the defense gets it to
Game
the 20.
Of inches.
That's staying on the books, it sounds like.
Let me tell you. So this was the one I couldn't wait.
Oh, I wish you would have invited me in for this.
To get to that discussion because it was boiling all year long in the office.
Right.
Now, let's take into account. Yeah. It happened three times in regular season, one time in postseason. Right. Didn't happen in the 2022 season.
Right.
So I said, okay, we're going to talk about ball through the end zone. There's a few think that this is a very punitive penalty. John Mara, Steven say, well, let's watch it. And then when the chairman says, well, wait a minute, two of the three were my guy.
Right.
If he just simply puts the ball in the right hand, which we're all taught.
Right.
In elementary school, when you first start learning football.
It doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen.
Right.
End of discussion. Move on.
Damn.
Wow.
Yeah. North Korea lives.
Somebody's listening.
Yeah. North Korea, right? You lose your ball. The better
example is hitting the ball over the fence into your neighbor's yard, and then it's gone. That the end zone is your neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
And
now,
once you drop it in there, it's gone.
Yeah. Now, okay. So I tried to bring it back to make sure that everybody had a chance to speak. I said, well, is there an appetite? Let's just revisit. Maybe just put the ball on the 1 yard line for the
That's
defense.
Our compromise.
Spot of the fumble.
Right?
Move on.
Yeah.
Dead.
I love it.
Okay. What about brotherly shove, tush push?
Didn't discuss it. It was one that I felt, and you get a feel for the room, a sense of the room. After the fumble through the end zone, when we discuss the push play with the committee during the season, later during the season, the evolution of the play.
Yeah.
People, there were more teams doing it.
Right.
They were very creative. That was a very creative look, and they were doing different
things off of it. Yeah.
It was, hey, don't punish a team that strategically does it well.
Yes, that's right.
And there's very few injuries. What we want to avoid is what we think could happen. Someone just coming over the top and injuring himself, but no discussion around it. It was one of I felt like I brought up. Move on.
Yeah,
you know. So
you didn't even bother.
Didn't even bother.
You don't hear move on again.
But it will. We will when we get to Florida. It is still one of those items that we want to just make sure that everybody, the whole membership, has a chance to weigh in on.
Gotcha.
But the committee, competition committee, outside of Mike T, I would say that Mike T was. Because in his mind, what was his argument? He wants to make sure that the defense, like the point after attempt, the D tackles,
right.
The only way I have to still defend that play.
Right.
And for me to defend that play,
right.
My defenders are looking at doing things that we would do on a point after attempt or
field
goal block.
That's a great point by Mike T.
So, yeah. But you know, he did say, nope, I'd be remiss if I didn't say what he said.
We saw some teams at the end of the year start to learn how to defend it looked like, too, right?
But Philly, yes, they tried, but their success rate.
But still amazing, right?
Just amazing. Yeah,
I've come around on that, too. It's like they're doing it well.
Right.
And there's a comfort in seeing it. You see them line up. It's kind of
like oh, here it goes.
It's like,
right.
I said it's like the old sitcom where there was a catchphrase that you waited for it every episode. This is the catchphrase. You're right. This is Fonzie hitting the jukebox. We're used to seeing it.
As you all saw, Chris.
Yeah.
They really got creative with that
play.
You get the look, and they start doing the option. They start doing reverses from it.
Right, right.
And the other point, too, regardless of anything the competition committee discusses, the owners still can do whatever they want to do when they get down to Florida.
We always say we could have a discussion in here, but the membership will decide on what moves forward or what doesn't.
They'll send the coaches out to golf and then pass it.
Hey,
go golf. It's
you had
on
a busy
us.
Week. You got a busy day. We thank you for giving us some of your time and helping us understand what's going on. We're always paying attention to these issues, and we want what's good for the game. You want what's good for the game, so hopefully we'll keep working in that direction.
Mike, thanks for having me. Yeah. Chris, thanks for having
Much
me.
Respect.
He's Troy
You're
Vincent, Executive VP of Football Operations for the NFL. We'll be back with more PFT Live right after this.
Here we are again at the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Guys, getting ready to join the NFL. Another familiar name for football fans, Chris Jenkins.
It's amazing.
Son of Chris Jenkins.
Right.
Dude. Here and ready to go and ready to create some havoc in the NFL. Welcome.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Why no Junior? Where's the Junior?
Junior, I mean, man, we trying to become the Chris Jenkins. I'm trying to, you know, make my name hopefully become Chris Jenkins. But, you know, shouts out to my dad. But, you know, we're going to see if that's going to happen.
If we're going to see if it's going to happen. That's the tough bar to pass.
No, absolutely.
People don't realize how good your damn dad was.
Oh, absolutely. Big man, too, and he can move.
Big man. Big man.
At what age did you realize that if you had to, you could take dad? Or has that not happened yet?
That has not happened yet. And he's definitely going to be at home tuning into this. So I'm going to say straight away right now, Dad, I'm going to give you your respect.
No way.
I'm not going to do that.
You could take him right now. Absolutely. He's got to be too old and banged up.
Well,
There's
yeah, right
no
now
way.
he's on his diet and he's a vegetarian now. So right now, but no, I wouldn't do him. Like, he definitely got some tricks in the
he's
back.
He's got the old man strength.
Absolutely.
Right. Apparently, I know it firsthand, unfortunately.
Well, and I think we have a photo of Chris Sims.
Yeah.
On the wrong end.
Damn, that's the play.
The spleen game?
That is the play.
Man.
Your dad almost killed Chris.
I heard about that.
Literally.
I heard about that. I never saw that photo, though.
Yep. So this is, I've already been hit. See, this is already, Thomas Davis has already put his, he's bouncing off of me here. Yeah. Thomas Davis has already put his helmet in my chest and is bouncing
and
off, but
backwards.
That's where I got stuck a little bit in that spot. I was throwing it away. And he got me right in that soft spot where there's no rib pad there, Thomas Davis. I didn't know your dad was behind me.
Yeah.
I saw Thomas Davis coming. I was in a duck and chuck, right? Mm. And just get out of the way because nobody was open. But your big freaking dad was behind me, who is the mountain of men.
Yeah. Yeah, right? That's unfortunate. I apologize on behalf of him.
Don't worry. You don't have to apologize. I know what I signed up for.
And it was like so hot that day.
It was hot
as
hell.
Yeah.
Chris Jenkins, his dad was one of those guys, when I used to get underneath the center, I'd go, I don't really think the center is going to be able to snap the ball and block him at the same time. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's how awesome your dad was.
Oh, no, I mean, absolutely.
So
no,
I'd like everybody to know that.
Oh, yeah.
When did you know you were... got a chance. Like, I got a chance to be awesome. What age would it hit you?
Really Little League. Like, I want to say third year playing Little League. And back then, I was really one of the smaller guys. I hadn't hit puberty yet.
Right.
I hadn't gotten into my, you know, strength yet.
Right.
So we had a big, tall cat that was running the football. I think he was 6 foot at that time. We were all 12.
Yeah.
And he's stiff-arming people crazy. And, you know, I came out the side, got a real good hit on him, made him fumble, made his helmet cut off.
Right.
And then I'm standing over and screaming.
And you're like, damn.
And my dad was proud. And, you know, big man like him, you know, it's rare to see him, you know, get hyped up,
right,
especially after all the stuff he does.
Yeah. So you caught that guy like Jadeveon Clowney and sent his helmet flying?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
On the sideline. Yeah. Like, didn't come through the line, but yeah. Oh, yeah. I was hyped.
Man. So that's when he realized, like, man, when I hit people, it doesn't even hurt me. So this is kind of fun.
It's pretty fun.
That's amazing. So your game, I mean, first off, congrats on the year.
No, thank you.
What was the year like? I mean, because you guys went through a lot of shit this year.
Absolutely. It was a movie, a rolling film from start to finish. And, you know, we faced adversity. We faced great times, amazing times. And, you know, the entire time we were with our family together. So, you know, it was amazing for us because, you know, from start to finish, it was a movie. And we really had that tunnel vision mentality that we had to get the job done. And we had the leaders to do that.
You thought the Harbaugh stuff, it seemed like it really – I mean, we started the year
mm-hmm.
with Harbaugh stuff.
Absolutely.
Then it ended the year with more Harbaugh stuff.
Yeah.
But do you guys feel like that really kind of brought you together even closer as a football team?
No, absolutely. And, you know, we've talked to Coach Harbaugh, and we even talked to our strength coach, Coach Herb, before the season and how we should face adversity and how we had to fine-tune the details because you never know what's going to happen. So, you know, the fact that we were prepared to not only face an adversity in game but face outside adversity as well was something, you know, like we bought into as a team.
Yeah.
How do you go about leading your teammates as one of the captains at Michigan?
Well, man, I mean, you know, I'm the energy guy. You know, Coach has a saying, enthusiasm unknown to mankind, and that's what I try to bring that type of energy off screen. You know, I try to lead by example, you know, get everybody hyped up. So, you know, and, you know, blessed to be at Michigan because we got so many leaders, so many talented guys across the board. So it's always fun to, you know, come in and work with top talent and, you know, top leaders. So,
I said for years now that they should have a Jim Harbaugh doll with a string that has like seven or eight sayings because he has those sayings over and over again.
Right.
And apparently, sources tell me that you may be able to
I'm not gonna do an impersonation right now
because you know he's definitely gonna be watching this. So, right. You know, I'm gonna give him respect, but I will give you an acronym.
Right.
Because he is really good when it comes to team acronyms. Right. Whenever we're in meetings, and he says, "Be a dog, a disciplined athlete with grit," and he came up with the acronym for BET. Even though, you know,
yeah.
That's not,
well,
you know,
yeah, right. What is it?
You know, bringing everybody together.
Oh.
And, you know, that hit us.
Yeah.
We didn't intend
They're both
that,
good ones.
No, that fits.
Right.
That works.
So you can do the whole spiel on this guy, though. You got him down, it sounds like, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Because sources told us at NBC, you know, you had some input, and they were like, eh, let's not do that. You know, Michigan was like, eh, let's not do that.
Nah, respectfully, nah, not at all.
Is it the voice, or is it also like where he's kind of always looking around? Like, I always feel like he's reading words that aren't there when he's trying to talk.
I got his, you know, his mannerisms down packed just because I feel like I'm similar in that way, too, especially, you feel me, when we're thinking about something and we're really cooking and
right.
We're coming up with acronyms and stuff like that. Oh, we about to throw down some fire. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, one of the things I've been saying about Coach Harbaugh, you know, as complicated as people want football to seem, I think it's at some level very simple. Who can push your buttons to go out there and be the best you can be and then some? And he seems like a guy who always knows how to get you to do the absolute best that you can and more.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's just how he's wired. He knows how to do that for everybody, you know, in every position, whether you're a quarterback, O-lineman, D-lineman, you know, he knows how to get everybody fired up. And, you know, he got us ready to, you know, fight in some battles.
Did you know? Did you have a feeling, like, even before the national championship that he was probably going to leave and go to the NFL?
I mean, not at all. You know, after the past couple of years, you know, you never really know and, you know, kind of learn to, you know, be where your feet are after, you know,
right.
After a certain point. But, yeah, you know, absolutely, he deserves it, though, 100%.
No doubt about that.
No doubt about that.
Right.
I love his answer to that question when he was asked before the national championship, asked about the future. He says, I hope to have one.
Yeah, right. Pretty plain and simple.
I mean, yeah, he definitely got one.
So. All right, so what about your own game, right? You know, what do you need to improve here as you go into the NFL and leave the Big Ten and college football?
Oh, yeah, I need to improve all aspects. You know, that goes for run, that goes for pass, that goes for how I approach the game, that goes for how I study, you know, because I'm not a finished book. I'm not complete in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, if I go in with that mentality that I got to improve in everything, you know, I can't see, you know, factors. I can't see growth. I can't see progress.
Yeah, yeah. All right. That's a good damn Michigan answer. He's too smart for his own damn good over
here. That's a Michigan way now, though.
what are you excited about with the NFL, right?
Ooh.
You know, like there's a lot, right? I mean, of course, hey, money, and it's a different world. I know it was – I liked my NFL experience more than college. I did, even though college was awesome. Don't get me wrong.
No, absolutely.
But I know, I'm sure you've heard war stories, whatever else. What are you the most excited for?
I'm excited for the games.
Yeah.
Because I heard stories from my dad, from my uncle, you know, watching as a kid, being on the field as a kid, and, you know, seeing that first person.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just excited to, you know, finally have an opportunity to get out there and just really experience a game of football at the top level.
Panthers fan growing up or?
Growing up, yeah. But, I mean, of course, now I'm not biased.
You're anybody.
Yeah. I'm a love wherever I go.
Yeah,
so,
I know that.
100%.
Right.
So if it was to go down between your dad and Uncle Cullen, who comes out ahead in that one?
Ooh. Like, are we ranking them as players or are, like, man-to-man?
No, right now, somebody said something the other guy didn't like, and it's time. It's on.
You see, that's an interesting one because, you know, my uncle, he's quick, and my dad does have the strength.
Right.
So, you know, I'm going to give it to my uncle, you know, now because, you know, probably give him the – because he's a little bit step quicker.
Oh, okay, you know, okay.
All due respect to Pops.
And a little younger, too, right now, right? Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. But in their prime, you know, that would have been very interesting.
Right,
you know,
damn.
You can see, you know, they're definitely both built.
Right. All right, Dad, you hear that? He's saying you're his uncle will whoop you, Dad. I mean, damn, he's going to see that.
I said
that.
It's going to be close.
You said you wouldn't whoop him, but you're going to say the uncle will whoop
him. It's going to be a close battle.
Okay.
It's going to be a great
all
clash.
Right, all right, way to bottle it up.
Absolutely.
I know you have no control over what's going to happen next, but is part of you hoping that maybe you get to keep playing for Jim Harbaugh?
I mean, you know, honestly, really, I'm biased. Like I've been saying, I'm biased. Like you said, you know, it would definitely be cool. It would absolutely be very cool, you know, to play for him again, you know, experience that again. But, you know, I'm willing to give 100%, you know, all of myself to whoever's willing to, you know, take that interest in me and trust in me. So, you know, you got me 100% locked in. And, you know, if it ain't coached, then – no, we just got to go.
Got to go where you go. Right. All right. You played a lot of damn good old linemen. I mean, you Ohio State, the Big Ten, the SEC battles you dealt with here at the end of the year.
Who's the best offensive player you played against in college football? Who's the one guy you were like, damn, he was the truth, or I wasn't expecting that from that guy? Right? It doesn't even have to be a lineman. It could be a running back that you had to tackle, whatever.
And this could be like last year.
Last year, 3 years before. I don't care. Nobody on your own damn team. That's the only thing I
absolutely
ask.
You know what? Respectfully, because you know what I was about to do. sophomore year, I'll give respect, and I hate to do this to a rival, but you know, I'll give respect to Kenneth Walker, number 9.
He was
definitely a dog.
Right?
He scored 5 touchdowns that game. You know, we definitely had a game plan for him. So, you know, he's definitely
strength and speed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's definitely a gritty football player.
Yeah, yeah, he's a baller still.
All right, Chris, hey, man, we got to let you run, but we appreciate your time. We wish you all the best. We want to hear that Harbaugh. We'll do it off camera. I want to hear the Harbaugh. I want to see that. You got to get the glasses.
He needs an inch thick glasses and some googly eyes to go with it.
I mean, maybe. We'll see.
All right. He's Chris Jenkins. We'll be back with more after this.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.